Oh man, this is going to be a great episode, y'all. This is the Counselor's Connection. I am your host, Fabian Vixen. And on this episode, we're going to be discussing college readiness and how early should we start as counselors. Varied opinions on that. We have a pedagogy we have to go by, just like teachers with standards. But it's make it fit for your own program. We're also going to have Nakia Whaley, Yasmin Gibson, and Alicia Costa, three college students at HBCUs, discussing their experience at their HBCUs as well as their experience in high school counselors. Of course, I'm going to have my housekeeping items and my final thought on proprietary information. That's a hard word to say, believe it or not. Proprietary. You should hear me struggling saying it. And this department, my show, I say let go.
Hopped out the Benz like it's common sense. Got a monkey on my feet like it's common sense. Got gorillas in the streets like it's common sense. Stack the money heads up like it's second nature. Got a stay pulled up like it's second nature. Keep a chip in my hair like it's second nature. Big window make me set like second nature.
So as school counselors, we know the three domains that we have is social-emotional wellness, academics, and of course, college and career readiness. Now, I'm a big proponent of college, but I also believe that college isn't for everybody. Sometimes folks make a better career being apprentices, going to a tech school, anything like that. Like if you go to a tech school to be a barber or a beautician, those are fields where you're not going to lose work. But let's say, for instance, you want to go to a specialized field like teaching or an engineer or a lawyer or anything like that. Of course, you need college. And one thing about our position is we try to introduce those fields to our scholars at an early age. Especially in the state I'm in, Georgia, we have a layered plan for starting with elementary school where you introduce kids to those careers and clusters. So, you know, we have 17 career clusters. You introduce specific ones at different grade levels based on what they can understand, of course. And a good multitude of those careers do involve a college education. There are some that you can have without having a college education, like you can go into retail and work your way up to management. You could do hotel and hospitality. Of course, you can do service jobs like firefighter or policeman or dispatcher, anything like that, where you don't have to have a career to advance, but it'll be great to have in your pocket if you do want to advance, if that is a prerequisite for an interview or to have that job. But with college readiness and getting kids ready for college, to me, it's never too early to introduce them to college. But the prime time to start introducing kids to college, to me, is in middle school. Now, some kids might know where they want to go in elementary because they've been introduced by their parents in an early age. But to me, for a better understanding and a more disciplined approach to introducing it to kids, you would want to start in middle school. What grade level, you ask? Well, for me, of course, I'm a little partial with 8th grade because they're about to head to high school where they're college career starts in 9th. In 8th grade, you're taking high school courses, but generally it starts in 9th grade. So let's say, for instance, you want to start introducing kids to college. How do I do that? Of course, you have them do an aptitude test or a career inventory in 6th or 7th grade to try to find or gauge what careers they want to choose. Once that happens, of course, in 8th grade, you start getting more defined as far as finding pathways in high school. For those that might not know what a pathway is a prerequisite of courses that align with a discipline that you may be interested in. Some of those might be engineering or business information, business administration, fine arts, possibly foreign language, computer technology, information technologies, and so forth and so on. Those are a lot of areas where you could be introduced to, and possibly find a pathway that leads you to different scholarships or opportunities to go to college or that sort of thing. But to get to the gist of college awareness or college preparedness, we need to start at eighth grade, because some kids might be taking high school courses. In my building, we have four classes that are high school credits. Of course, Algebra 1, Honors Physical Science, you have High School Visual Arts, and of course, you have Spanish 1, High School Spanish 1. That's also our honors class. Those classes are very imperative for kids that want to try to graduate a little early, try to start college, possibly take some AP classes in high school, or lead to starting dual enrollment a little early before they graduate. So, and that's another podcast should talk about, between traditional schedule or block scheduling, which we might do later on this year. So, what are some things that you can do to introduce your kids to college preparedness? Of course, the good old faithful way is to bring in a college recruiter, admissions officer, somebody that works at the college that has an intimate knowledge of admissions, college life, so forth and so on. You can bring those into even elementary students to have them introduce them. Like, hey, this, we got Mr. Johnson from Fort Valley State University. And talk about what it's like to go to Fort Valley. Of course, some kids younger, somebody might want to be a famous football player or an athlete. They can talk about the requirements for sports and that type of stuff. Another form, you can do an in-person college fair. We did that a couple years at my previous school, Appleton Middle School, where we introduced like four or five different colleges that came, talk about their enrollment process and college life, Upward Bound program, that type of stuff. So that's another arena that you can use to introduce colleges and universities. I like Upward Bound because the kids actually get to stay on campus for a couple weeks and be on the campus, learn some different trades and that type of stuff as well. Another item that is very unknown, but it's known, is if you have a good science department in your middle school or high school, you can start a robotics team. The reason why I say that, in Georgia, we have a robotics team. I'm going back to Appleton Middle School. In 2020, they went to the state competition. They made all the way to state from Regional 1, then to the Super Regionals, then to the state championship. From there, you actually get to visit, I believe, Georgia Tech, if I remember correctly, Georgia Institute of Technology. There, you get to visit the campus, get to meet some people that's affiliated with Georgia Tech, learn about the different avenues of technology or engineering you could go into. It's a very lucrative field, and it's a very good field for kids of color, young women. We need more women in coding and tech. That's a predominantly male-dominated field. We need more girls to take over that field. So that's a good opportunity for kids to visit a college campus if their team makes it that far, or just have an opportunity to network. And a couple of the top tech schools in Georgia is Kennesaw State, of course, and Georgia Tech. You look up at Austin State. Those are three off the top of my head I can give you right now. And a final way to make college awareness and preparedness for kids is to do virtual fairs. Since we're still going through a pandemic right now, it seems like it's never going to end, but that's neither here nor there. This pandemic is changing the way we do things as a council, making us pivot a little bit, be more flexible, be more versatile in our process of delivering a comprehensive program. And one thing I did last year is I introduced virtual college fairs. We did we introduced about 8 to 10 schools to our eighth graders last year. We had Albany State, Savannah State, Valdosta State, Fort Valley State, FAMU, Southern Crescent, Clayton State, Gordon College. Had them do some virtual tours with Georgia Southern, Mercer, and Clark and Atlanta. So those are some surefire ways, so that way, one, you keep kids safe, don't have to worry about kids having to exert any funds for paying for a bus or having to eat or whatnot. and go learn about college at the school. One last thing before the pandemic, which was a great idea, introducing kids to college, is if you have a relationship with your alma mater or any school in your area that's easily accessible for you and your school, would be to do an actual visit on campus. One idea that I've heard from one of our counselors in Henry County, Ms. Lawson, that she would take kids based on their interests, would go on a tour to UGA. That'd be a great idea right now if it's open back up and you take them to see different departments and let them see the campus. I went to UGA 2 years in a row for All-State Concert Band. I went in 94 and 95. And it was a great experience. Went to practice. They had to audition for which band they're going to play. She ended up four different bands. You have your lower band, your two interviews, and basically an advanced band. They play different concert music and symphonic music. And it's a great experience for those kids and for myself to play to see what level you're on when you play. Hopefully that will be an option for next year. And we'll see. So those are five different ways you can introduce college preparedness and readiness for students. Another one would be if you take an eighth grade trip, let's say you eighth grade trip to Washington D.C., you could visit Hampton or Howard, or if you visit Florida, you could go by Florida State, FAMU, you go by Bethune-Cookman. Just depending on what part of Florida you're going to, or if you go to Louisiana, you can visit Xavier University, Southern, Grambling State. Take a number of different routes where you can take kids to enjoy themselves. So that's going to be something that is going to be pretty cool for kids to do. And hopefully this year we'll plan a trip. If I had a boat or somewhere, we would go there. Two places, New Orleans and Washington D.C. for a kids trip. For it could be for educational purposes. You could do Washington D.C. for social studies. You could do New Orleans for, of course, for social studies. You could do it for science and how the levees are important to preventing flooding. And that stuff, especially with Katrina hit in 2005. So you could turn it educational and fun at the same time for you and your scholars. Now I'll be right back with Yasmin, Alicia, and Nakia and their experience at their HBCUs. We are here on the Counselors Connection. I am your host, Fabian Vicks, and I have three lovely ladies that I've known since their diapers were stinky. I have two of my daughters and one of their longtime friends. I have Leisha Cosby, Yasmin Gibson, and Nakia Whaley. Ladies, how are y'all doing?
Good.
I'm great.
So, y'all. Oh, hush. Now, like I said, one of the episodes I wanted to bring in college students and their different experiences in college and how their high school counselors have affected or did not affect their college application process or whatnot. So I'm going to let them introduce themselves and tell their classification and the universities they are from. I'm going to start with Leisha, then Nakia, and then Yasmin.
Okay. Hello, I'm Alicia Cosby. I attend the Fort Valley State University, and I am currently a senior majoring in family consumer sciences with a concentration in food and nutrition.
Okay, and say the college you went to again, just in case they didn't hear you on the other side of the country.
The Fort Valley State University.
Okay, thank you. Bakaya.
I'm Nakia. I go to the Alabama A&M University.
Don't do that.
I'm a junior and I major in biology with a minor in sports management.
She should have went to Fort Valley State, but we're not going to talk about that. And Yasmina.
My name is Yasmin Gibson. I am a senior at the Fort Valley State University, but that was not before I started off as a student at Middle Georgia State University. My major is mass communications. I think that's what we're still calling it. And yeah.
Okay. I want to start with, I'm going to start with Nakia since she's a year before you guys. Nakia, we know you for a long time. And how does it feel to be at a college out of state, away from everybody?
It's definitely a challenge, knowing that I'm not really close home to any family. So for the longest time, I went through I was really homesick. But, you know, once I moved off and found friends and, you know, family members that are there, it actually, it made my experience a whole much better. It made me ready to move off on my own. Like, I'm by myself, so I took up a lot more responsibility. And I was so skeptical about it at first, but this is probably one of the best decisions I've ever made, moving away.
So for folks that might not know, the three colleges that they're going to are, of course, historically Black college and universities. And we're trying to accentuate those colleges and give support or whatnot to those schools and make it known. Alabama A&M was on my lower list of schools to go to, believe it or not. But of course I went to, like my two daughters, we went to the Fort Valley State University. So anyway, Leisha Cosby, so you are, you're a senior now and you had experience with one college. This question for all three of y'all, I want to ask y'all. How did high school prepare you for college and what role did your school counselors play in you going to college? And I know Nakia, I know you went to Dutchtown High School, that's my feeder school, so I know a couple of your counselors. So.
Yeah. Me knowing that my counselor was a Black woman, so.
Ms. Williams.
I'm sorry.
With Ms. Johnson.
Ms. Johnson, yep. And she, when I first started my application, trying to figure out what college I want to go to, I was looking at a lot of PWIs. And she was the one that was like, hey, you know, why don't you go to a school where, you know, you look like everybody? You know, HBCU is a little more expensive, but you probably get a lot more, a little bit more experience. And without her telling me that, I probably would be God knows where. So she really helped me make a decision on me wanting to go to an HBCU. And high school prepared me with time management. That's the biggest one that I'm really grateful that I learned in high school, because dealing with seven classes and, you know, trying to maintain the friends and maintain yourself, which is more important, it got a little hectic. So me learning how to deal with that in high school really helped me a lot when I got to college.
Okay. Ms. Cosby, what about you?
Okay, so with my counselors, I had Ms. Krako. She's a white woman, but she was the best in the building. Everybody was fighting to get her because nobody else cared about students the same way Ms. Krako did. So she would talk to you. The counselors in my high school were very intimate. They were like very personal with you. The counselors at Fort Valley, they're like, boop, 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 here you go, you're taking this. All right, get out my office. Boop. That's the difference. But high school, I feel like they babied us in a way, which didn't really prepare me for college. But at the same time, what they did prepare me for was, like Nakia said, they got me used to going to class. Of course, when you get in college, there's no bells or anything, but still, we got used to going to several classes throughout the day. It's the same to college. And of course, we got phones nowadays, so we can set alarms that way. And then another way they prepared me for college is taking notes. Notes, learning how to take those in high school really prepared me, because they teach you not to take every single word down and move forward. And then they taught us how to present presentations for projects, don't read off the board. They taught that to me in high school. So I was the only student in my college classroom for public speaking that knew how to present. Everybody else was slow reading off the note cards, reading off the board, and I was the only one prepared. And then lastly, I think Nakia brought this up as well, planning, time management. High school taught me that, because every year they would hand out planners to us. So that was something I was very grateful for. And that's everything they prepared me for.
All right, Ms. Gibson.
I had the same counselor as Alicia, Ms. Krako, and loved her she was very, like Alicia said, they were very intimate and like wanted to know about personal things in case we were going through things. And you know this, with like testing anxieties and having certain like, you know, challenges, they would work with me with those kinds of things. And that kind of gave me like a little pillow. Like it was kind of like being baby, although I didn't need it at the time. They're not that serious they're not that serious at Fort Valley State. At MGA, they made me like come in and give like the necessary paperwork and all that kind of stuff, and were checking in on me and my progress and gave me a tutor and all these kinds of things. But I didn't necessarily get that at Fort Valley State. So I guess I would just say that the huge difference is the babiness. Like, they did baby us. That's exactly what they did. So that, and also, yeah, I would say that high school prepared me for like time management and stuff, although I did have to find my own kind of pace, because in high school I had somebody there to kind of like lead me and all that kind of stuff. So here in college, which I'm a senior, so I'm about done. I pretty much get my pace now. It's just an adjustment to independency, really.
Yeah. I agree.
Okay, I got another question to follow up on how high school prepared you for college and everything. What did they not prepare you for? Start with Yasmin, then Alicia, then Nakia.
Like, they didn't prepare me for, like, as far as education, like the real stuff that you need to know, like writing cover letters and resumes and stuff like that. I took a couple AP courses, and those, I guess, came the closest to preparing me for college. And I think, I don't remember, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was either, I don't remember, it was like something that you had to do in order for you to be able to take a college course in high school.
Prerequisite.
Yeah. I don't know if that was AP or not, but also I feel like only AP students and maybe IB students get that opportunity. So that was kind of unfair, I feel. But other things did not prepare me for, I would say, was just being on my own and having to make my own schedule and choose to go to class and those kinds of things. But that's kind of stuff that I have to learn on my own as well, especially as an adult. So,
Ms. Cosby.
Okay, what they did not prepare me for was 5 to 7 to 10 page essays. Chemistry. I didn't know nothing about chemistry till I got to college. It was the biggest mistake that has ever happened to me. And then managing finances, dealing with finances, we working on that still. And then adulting, point blank period. And then roommates, living arrangements, which I guess they couldn't teach me that. Anyways, and then first aid is the worst freaking thing at Fort Valley State University. I mean, I don't know if they could prepare us for that, but yeah.
And finally, Nakia.
One of the biggest things that I cannot stress enough that they did not teach me in high school was anything to do with banking, like anything that has to do with money-wise. Another thing that people don't think about is email etiquette. Was not taught that in high school. When I got to college, you know, I had to learn how to write an email. Like, even though it's things that people, you know, you should already know, but my freshman year in college, I had to learn how to write an email. And I feel like that's something that's really major that you know, they should have thought to teach us about.
Okay.
Yeah.
And another thing is how to prepare for a job interview. Or, you know, job interview and, you know, how to do an interview. Wasn't taught that. And it's something that's really major and that I feel like everyone should be taught in high school, even middle school. You know, it's the most important things that actually, I'm not gonna say actually matter in life, but, you know, the most important things that can help you get places in life, high school did not prepare me for.
Okay. So let me ask y'all this then. Do y'all like the independence in college, or y'all still want somebody to kind of hold your hand a little bit?
It would be nice. It would be nice. But I know eventually, you know, the birds got to fly out the nest. So it would be nice. That would be a luxury. But at the same time, mature-wise, I know I have to do things on my own.
Yeah.
What about you, Bakaya?
Yeah, same thing. Like, I would really love the support, the extra support. And, you know, but one thing I can say about A&M at my school is that our counselors they're there. Like, they are there. But it's a matter of trying to get to them. So the independence theme itself is, I don't know, it's bittersweet. Like I said, you know, you will want that, but, you know, then again, you know, deep down that, hey, it's time for me to mature and go ahead and do what I got to do. So, yeah, I don't know, it's
50-50. Bittersweet. I know Nakia talked about how Ms. Johnson kind of nudged her to HBCU. Yasmin, Alicia, what drove y'all to go to Fort Valley State?
Y'all.
Excuse me?
Y'all.
I can't hear you. You're going in and out. You're going in and out.
It was my lovely parents.
So you wanted to go somewhere else?
I didn't want to go to college.
Why?
Because I wanted to go to culinary school. I didn't see no use in college.
Kind of culinary school is kind of a college, Lisa.
But at least it's about food.
Well, your major in family consumer science, which is about...
But I want more food.
It's not as specialized as you want it to be.
Right.
Don't be blaming me and your mom for your decisions. We didn't make y'all to go to Fort Valley. We make you go. Yasmin, what made you go to Middle Georgia State then switch to Fort Valley?
Well, to be quite frank, my GPA in high school wasn't that great. So, you know, I didn't have as many options as my god sister over here. So it was kind of like I had to do what I had to do. And the plan was to go there my freshman and my sophomore year and then transfer over to Fort Valley because they had the programs that I wanted and you know, the things that I really wanted to do, which was broadcasting and learning about, you know, production and kind of news kind of stuff. So it really was just a stepping stone. But they were very welcoming. I didn't see a lot of people like me there. I did see a handful, but Fort Valley, it felt like home, to be honest. Which is funny because, I mean, it was already home. I grew up there. I was, when you went there and mom went there, we were pretty much on campus, so it just felt like going back.
So let me ask y'all this, all three. I'm gonna start with Yasmin, then Alicia, then Bakaya. I know I'm calling you Bakaya, that's why I've been calling you for 20 years. I'm gonna keep calling you Bakaya. So if you had to choose, no revisionist history, we look at the decision we're making, everything. Would you go to a totally different college if you didn't have the influence of Fort Valley in your family? And Bakaya, would you choose another college besides A&M? Besides, if Ms. Johnson would have intervened, what college would that have been?
Oh, wow. I was trying to go to Columbus State originally. And you know, it really was about the campus and the atmosphere, because I visited and I just loved it. I visited a lot of campuses, but Columbus State's campus just spoke the most to me. I could get along with a lot of people there. But I think it went the way that it was supposed to. I really genuinely don't see myself being at any other college other than Fort Valley State, although I do have my issues with it. It brought me on my path and it provided me with connections that I do need, and I wouldn't have done it any other way.
Ms. Cosby, let me hear your answer.
No, like, although I talk my stuff about Fort Valley, I don't see myself nowhere else. And even though I wanted to go to culinary school before I even thought about college, I wouldn't even go there because I found different hobbies. Like, I hate, love Fort Valley, but I wouldn't go anywhere else. It's family, but it's also family, like,
you get on my nerve. Yeah. I hate love Fort Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate love because y'all got all the nice new dorms. So we had the doggone broomstick closets for the room. My first year at Fort Valley, I'm gonna get to you a guy. My first year at Fort Valley, we had just got, I think, phones in the room. The year before I got there, they just got cable.
Wow.
So imagine the years before, they didn't have a phone. Okay, well, you had one payphone on each floor. So if you had to make a call, you had to go to a payphone using quarters or call collect.
Oh.
No.
What?
Mm-mm.
That's how you
know
you're old.
I'm going to put you on mute, Leisha. So, all right, go ahead, Nakia. Go ahead. What about you?
So previously, before I started looking at Alabama A&M, I was going to go to Armstrong University, which is in Savannah, Georgia. Mm-hmm. But absolutely. I am so glad I just didn't do that, because even though I was so stuck in between if I want to go to a PWI or if I want to go to HBCU, and it was, I can't see myself anywhere else. Like, even, you know, after I graduate from A&M, like, I'm just like, okay, I cannot, you know, I want to go to another HBCU. I like to be where I have the most connection with people. And I just felt like, when I got on campus, that was just home, and I cannot see myself anywhere else, HBCU-wise.
All right, well, this going to be the last question I'm going to ask for y'all. I know this wasn't one of the questions, but it just, 5 years from now, I'm going to start with Nakia, then Leisha, and Yasmin. Where do you see yourselves in 5 years after you graduate?
5 years after I graduate, I just see myself being somewhere more successful. I don't see myself living in Georgia or in Alabama. I want to be somewhere where, like, you know, I could grow, somewhere that promotes growth. And I just feel like I can't do that there. So I feel like I would be somewhere in the South, but, you know, far away kind of, and hopefully successful. And, you know, doing my own thing and, you know, growing.
Ms. Cosby.
5 years from now, I see myself traveling, sitting on the beach, sipping the pina colada because of my very own business as a dance instructor. Not only that, I want to be a dance instructor / a registered nutrition. So not only am I getting people in shape, I'm teaching them dance. So, boom, I'm an entrepreneur.
Yeah, she's an entrepreneur. That's what I'm talking about. All right, Ms. Gibson.
That's a really long time. I guess I would say I expect to have my photography and production business fully up and running and my website up. And maybe on someone's set doing movies.
Yes, ma'am.
So, and a bonus question, who's gonna give me $5 to borrow?
$5?
Leisha.
I'm a broke college student. Do you know what this podcast is about?
Baby, you should give us $5.
Really? I don't really know.
I'm speaking it.
Anyway, I want to thank you for the time that you all have given to me today, and especially you, Bakaya, happy birthday. For those that's out there in the podcast, her birthday was on the 23rd of July. So this episode 24th, excuse me, I'm sorry, 24th. So this episode probably not going to air for a couple weeks. So everybody say happy birthday. Cash App Fave, the Fave on Sax for Nakaya's birthday money. So if you want to go ahead send it to me, and I'll make sure I give it to her. All right, y'all. Thank you for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Uncle Babe.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be right back with more Council Connection right after this.
This is the part of the show when I give you my housekeeping items. Of course, you can follow me on the Twitter at Fave the PSC. You go listen to the podcast on a multitude of platforms such as Anchor, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Google Podcasts, and of course, Apple Podcasts. Future episodes, we're looking at having Steve Zaharakis of Scooter on our episode. Still working on Nashia Yarber, Fort Valley State, and also Council of the Year in Bibb County. And maybe we might get Brian, Steve, and John back on for another episode. We'll see how that works out for everybody's schedule for that. As well as, we would like to get administrators on, like principals, assistant principals, district employees, and talk about their role with counselors and the value that we add to a building. Just happy to be back doing my podcast. I love doing it. I love getting PD and getting different voices out there and their takes of counselors, and just look forward to this year in counseling. Now, I'll be right back with my thought on proprietary information. So, Fave's final thought. As counselors, we always collaborate and work on things together and share ideas through face-to-face meetings. Of course, now we're still going through a pandemic, which seems like it's a never-ending story. Good movie, by the way, in 87. I loved it as a kid. Email, OneDrive, Google Drive, conference, consortiums, that sort of thing. We share ideas and visions and plans to make our council department better. So when does it become proprietary? Think about the word proprietary, you think about the M1 chip from Apple, or the servers at Google, or even the secret sauce at McDonald's for their Big Mac. Those are things you look at for no one to get a hold of so they could duplicate it and market it themselves and take away your profit share that you were planning to get for your ideas. So not just counselors, but as educators, as far as principals, admin, district office teachers, instructional coaches, special ed teachers, special ed leads, so forth and so on. When we have our ideas, we don't mind sharing it so we can, make our student and help our students become more successful and close those deficiencies and close those gaps in learning that they have. But when do we know how to proprietize our ideals? On a previous podcast I had a few months back with Steve and Caroline, we talked about WandaVision, Falcon Winter Soldier, we dealt a little bit in the Loki. I blurted out an idea. I was thinking about doing it. I might have gave somebody an idea to do small groups. I'm not going to release what the idea is, of course, but I need to go back and go back and work on that idea so that way I can actually proprietize it and sell it on Teachers Pay Teachers. Even when it's inadvertently shared with your colleagues and your buildings, ideas that you have, sometimes can turn into somebody using it for the district for their own good, but it's marketed as an idea that they had. So how do you deal with that? The hood answer for me is cuss that person out and snap on them for taking your idea. That's not the proper way to do it, because then you'll get into a can of worms of you're not a person that's easy to work with, and you always snap with something that's not going your way or whatever. The best way to work on an idea and keep it proprietary for yourself is to work on it, tweak it, market it yourself, and keep it to yourself. You don't want to market it too soon, because then somebody will look at your idea and go ahead and try to turn it to their name and their ideal. Especially when you know your group came up with the idea, or yourself came up with the idea or not. It can suck sometimes to know that something you and your group or yourself came up with and is taken from you without a single bit of credit. That goes a lot of different ways as well too. I've went through that with BAM, as far as the things I've done in BAM, as far as being a leader and being the best musician and not getting the full credit I deserve for the things I've done. There's nothing wrong being mad about it. There's nothing wrong with cussing at home. But it doesn't do you any good by cussing those folks out. I'll give you a situation where there's a band fraternity called Kappa Kappa Psi. That's a band fraternity in Tau Beta Sigma, the sorority, the sister sorority. And everybody knew I should have been a KK Psi because I've been there. I've done a lot of things for band, and it's the inaugural charter line that they were having. And they had an informational meeting about it. This has nothing to do with proprietary, but it's just the fact of the things you've done and you don't get credit for it because of bureaucracy or whatever. So, went to the meeting. You know, I just went to class. That was my last semester, so I was thought of being a charter line. A certain person put me out the meeting because I had on a long sleeve t-shirt and some khaki pants, even though it should have been like a polo shirt. I'm like, what's the difference? So you put me out of a meeting because of a long sleeve t-shirt. I didn't argue. I walked out of them and I kept it moving. Now the person that did it, that said something to the band director at that time, of course still went there for a couple more years. I'm not going to put his business out there because that would be petty of me to do that. But that person has hopefully learned his lessons as far as doing that sort of thing to somebody. Of course, I still graduated that spring. It wasn't a big deal because I was willing to go back to school for two more years to get my music education degree. I majored in political science at Fort Valley. So I was willing to go back to school to be a band director. But I said, you know what? This left a very bad taste in my mouth right here. This is what I'm going to have to deal with. So that's when proprietary information or proprietary behavior goes wrong for somebody, where it could possibly change the trajectory of someone's career or their life path. So we have to be careful as far as when we take away somebody's ideals or plans to mock or shade them. Because for the same thing, when you have your own ideals, you don't want to cuss out that person even though they might deserve it. You have to keep working because you still have to work with these people. Continue to be professional. and still be the best person you could be in your job. It doesn't go for counseling or teaching or management or technology or whatever. This goes for any field that you're in. So I thought I was gonna go with nuclear and say some things on here, but I didn't. But that's the importance of being proprietary in the things that you do. You just have to continue to be the professional that you are and continue to be better at it. But at the end of the day, they deserve it, but you deserve more. I want to thank you for listening to my podcast. I want to thank Yasmin, Alicia, and Nakia for popping on and talking about their college experience, and I'm out.